Welcome to another episode of It's About Time, a DC Sports podcast. I am Nate. I thank you guys for joining me this week. I'm recording on April 1st, Monday night. I'm actually going to do this week's podcast in two parts. We're going to do opening weekend for the Nats, the Mets series. The Nats go 1-2, winning the salvage game yesterday, walk-off fashion by Trey Turner. And then I'm going to record after tomorrow night's game. Bryce Harper returns to Washington for his first game as a Philly in D.C. Max Scherzer is going to be pitching. So first half, the podcast that I'm going to record tonight, which will be released Tuesday morning, April 2nd, will be all about opening weekend, because after tomorrow night, opening weekend is going to be a distant memory. Nobody's really going to talk a lot about it because everything's going to be Bryce, Bryce, Bryce. So tonight, I'm not talking about Bryce. We're going to talk about opening weekend. I have a lot of thoughts about the Nats opening weekend. It was a pretty eventful one for them. And we're going to kind of reassess where we think they are. I know it's only three games in. But if you remember back to last year, we said, or I said at least, prior to starting the podcast, you talked about their record. You talked about where they were in the standings. And you said, it's early. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. And yeah, we're only three games into the season, 159 games left. But there are certainly some things that we saw this weekend that we can get excited about, and there are things that we saw this weekend that can make us a little nervous. It can give us a little bit of pause, so we're going to talk about all of that. I'm not going to necessarily go game by game, but just talk about some overall things that I saw, maybe some specific things that I'd like to bring up. But it's going to be an all-Nats podcast opening weekend. Baseball is back. I was at the game Thursday on opening day. And, yeah, man, I'm excited. Baseball is back. Before we get into it, I will remind you guys that we are affiliated with the DMV, sportsnetwork.com. That is the DMV, sportsnetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. They have great written content on DC Sports, as well as a bevy of podcasts that you can check out. We're happy to be affiliated with them. They blast our stuff out, and we blast theirs out. So please give them a follow, check them out. Also give us a follow on Twitter. It's About Time DC1. That's ITS, About Time DC1. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think. And subscribe and rate to our podcast wherever you listen. We're always happy to hear from you guys. And as always, we are very grateful that you guys listen and take part. Let's get started. So the Nats, they go 1-2 this weekend against the Mets. And they barely avoided being swept. It was not a positive weekend, in my opinion, for the Nats. You know, they finally had a game yesterday where they jumped out to an early lead. They were up 3-1 after a Trey Turner 3-run home run in the third inning, and then that lead grew to 4-1, and then eventually 5-2 going into the top of the eighth inning, and then the wheels fell off. Tony Sipp started the inning, gave up a couple of singles. Trevor Rosenthal came in, faced one batter, gave up a hit. And then Doolittle came in, and they weren't clean hits, but he gave up two hits that ended up tying the game. The Mets scored three runs in the eighth. Fortunately, Trey Turner walks it off in the bottom of the ninth inning to salvage a win for the Nats. It'd be a completely different tone of a podcast today if the Nats had not found a way to win yesterday. But they did barely avoid being swept. And so I'm going to start actually with some positive news. Some positive things that came out of the first weekend of baseball, first weekend of many. Max Scherzer and Patrick Corbin, they both pitched good games. Max pitched a great game. Would have been a fantastic game. I think he got left in two-thirds of an inning too long. But Max went 7 2/3, gave up two earned runs on only two hits, and had 12 Ks. Patrick Corbin went six innings, gave up also two earned, seven hits and only four Ks, but solid outing for Patrick Corbin, especially when the Nats needed it most. He held the Mets in check. Strasburg had a rough start to his outing. He gave up four runs in the first two innings, but then he settled down to pitch four scoreless after that. He ended up going six innings, gave up four earned. So the Nats started pitching. Strength of the team, they're going to be okay. I think it's a positive. Max looked like his Cy Young self. I am a little bit worried about his usage. I know that other people are not. You know, He's going to be 35 years old this year. He's going to pitch three of the Nats' first eight games. I know he's on regular rest, but they had the opportunity to really kind of ease him into the season, and instead they're going full throttle because he's pitching tomorrow on his normal 5 days rest, and then he's going to pitch Sunday again on his normal 5 days rest. He's going to start three of the Nats' first eight games. I like the idea of starting fast, but at some point you got to find some time to get Max a little bit of rest. It's a long season. He is getting older, and you want him his strongest going into August and September. I think the real, if there are two real big positive storylines coming out of the weekend. The big one for me is Trey Turner. We'll get to that in a second. But Victor Robles in the ninth hole has been very effective. Yes, part of that is because the 5, 6, 7 hitters have not been doing much. Brian Dozier doesn't have a hit yet. Ryan Zimmerman only has two hits. But Robles got the lead off a lot, and he has started the season off on a tear. He's got 5 hits and 11 at-bats, .455 batting average. He had his first. He was the first home run of the season for the Nats. He's got 2 ribbies. He has really shown himself to be a prolific offensive weapon for the Nats, especially batting in the ninth hole. I like that setup. He's kind of the second leadoff man, and that's a tough 1-2-3 to get through to start an inning if you've got Robles, Eaton, Turner, and then behind them you have Rendon and Soto. Victor Robles really showed that he's ready to be a major leaguer. I think even when Michael A. Taylor comes back, Robles is your starting center fielder. He could not really have had a much better offensive weekend. We will talk about, when we get to the not-so-positive news, he did make some mistakes on the base pass. But there are mistakes that if he's making them in March and April, that's fine. If he's making them in July and August, then you got a little bit of an issue that you got to deal with. Adam Eaton is still an on-base machine. He batting .333 through the first three games, on-base percentage of .429. Eaton is going to find a way to get on base. He's a grinder. He's the perfect guy to have in the leadoff spot. I really like him there. And that has opened it up to the biggest positive news of the first opening weekend. Trey Turner looks like he is ready to become a star. 2 home runs yesterday. He is batting .385. He's got 5 hits in his 13 at-bats, 4 RBIs, and also leads the National League with 4 stolen bases. Trey is setting himself up to have a prolific season in the 2-hole. His defense was solid all weekend. I'm very excited about that. At 26 years old, he looks like he is ready to take it to the next level. And if he does, if he blossoms into a superstar at shortstop, the Nats are going to have a middle of the order that can contend with anybody. So that's the positive news for the Nats so far. Let's look at some of the not-so-positive news. I think the one big glaring thing for the Nats over the weekend is that their bullpen has got some issues. And we talked about that going into the season, that the bullpen was probably the most volatile group of the bunch, just because of a couple of big question marks. First question mark was Kyle Barrickall. Most of his career has been inconsistent, especially with his control. Trevor Rosenthal hadn't pitched in a year and a half, coming off of Tommy John. And Sean Doolittle, who has been relatively healthy with the Nats. He did have a foot issue last year, but he's had shoulder issues in the past. He has been lights out since he became a Nat. Could he maintain his performance or even take it to the next level? Well, this weekend, it showed that there are going to be some times where we're going to have some issues. I think it's too early to sound the alarm, but the bullpen definitely has issues, starting with Trevor Rosenthal. Trevor Rosenthal appeared in 2 games. He appeared Saturday and he appeared Sunday. Did not record an out, but gave up 4 hits and 5 earned runs. And he ended up getting the loss on Saturday. He only faced 1 batter on Sunday, which I thought was a mistake by Davey. But Trevor Rosenthal, I think he's going to be fine. I'm not worried about him. Again, has not pitched in a year and a half, but he was very shaky coming out of it to start. No other way to put it. He's very shaky. Justin Miller, Kyle Barrickall, both have had solid outings. Tony Sipp had a good first outing, and then he had a bit of a rocky outing yesterday. So their bullpen has been kind of a mix of positive news, not so positive news. Sean Doolittle finally made his first appearance yesterday in an attempt to record a five-out save. He did not give up real hard contact, but he came in and the inning was not clean. There were men on base, and he ended up allowing two inherited runners to score, and it was ended up counting as a blown save for him. So the bullpen's going to be a bit of a question mark. Everybody's already talking about the Nats have got to go get Craig Kimbrell in order if they want to compete. I'm not going to sound that alarm yet. I mean, I'd love for them to go get Craig Kimbrell. I think that that would be a great addition for them. But I'm not going to sound that alarm yet. I still feel confident in the back end of the bullpen, especially Sean Doolittle. But if we're 2 weeks from now and Trevor Rosenthal still hasn't figured it out, then there's going to be some real worry because they don't really have... I don't think Barraclough's an eighth inning guy yet. I think he's a kind of a middle to back end reliever. He's like a seventh inning guy. He can occasionally pitch the eighth inning if your eighth inning guy's unavailable. But I don't think he's there yet. They need Rosenthal to be that lockdown eighth inning guy to shorten games. If he's not that guy, then they really, you know, 2-3 weeks from now, if he hasn't figured it out, they're gonna have to find an alternative because. You cannot get, like with Max Scherzer, only gave up 2 runs and 7 2/3. Corbin went 6 strong. You can't have your starters giving you starts like that and it not working out for you because your back end of the bullpen can't keep it closed. That's where I'm at right now. I'm not hitting the panic button, but I think it's something that they're going to have to address quickly if they see the thing going downhill. Another not so positive, the middle of the order, not really the middle of the order, but the 5-6 hitters, Ryan Zimmerman and Brian Dozier have gotten off to a very slow start. They are a combined 2-for-22. They are providing no protection to the 3-4 hitters. Juan Soto is getting no protection batting cleanup. And Soto, as a result, is off to a bit of a rocky start. He's got 7 strikeouts and 12 at-bats. He's not really showing the patience that he had. He only has 1 walk so far. He's not showing the patience, and he's swung through some hittable pitches. I think Juan is feeling the pressure a bit, and he's pressing a bit because he's the focal point. At 20 years old, he is the focal point of the offense, more so even than Anthony Rendon, and the only reason why is because Soto has the power potential. Rendon's a 20-25 home run guy. Maybe he'll occasionally hit 30. But Soto's the guy that can take you out of the park, left, center, right, wherever he wants to hit it. And I think that when a team comes into Nationals Park or they're facing the Nats for a 3- or 4-game set, Soto's the one that's being circled. Soto's the one that's going to get the toughest pitches, especially because he's batting cleanup. And he's been off to a rocky start. I don't think it'll last. I think he'll figure it out. He's going to have to figure out how guys are pitching him. He's going to have to become a more cerebral hitter where he's thinking along with the pitcher. And I think he'll figure it out, but it's a lot to put on a 20-year-old. And I'll get to that. I actually think he should be hitting in front of Rendon to give him a little bit of protection and put a little bit more pressure on Rendon, who I think can handle it better at this point. We'll get to that in a second when I get to my my thoughts so far on how things are going. And then my final not so positive is I don't see a difference. Again, only 3 games. I don't see a difference in Davey Martinez. He still appears to be indecisive, especially when dealing with pitching decisions. One thing that really bothered me is that I didn't understand why he let Max Scherzer go back out in the eighth inning. He gave you 7 innings. He was in the mid-90s on his pitch count. 1 run on 2 hits. I mean, 12 strikeouts. You really can't ask for much more than that. And I think Davey kind of let Max talk himself back into the game, chasing a win. And he cost himself an at-bat in the seventh inning. Scherzer came up with 2 outs in the seventh. You've got Matt Adams for that very reason. Especially against Seth Lugo, he lets Scherzer hit. Scherzer strikes out. Davey has just seemed to be a bit indecisive. And it's always going to be amplified when your bullpen doesn't do what they're supposed to do. but his decisions, he did not seem to hit the right buttons, pull the right levers in the first weekend. The one positive thing that he did that was the way he's constructed the lineups with Robles batting ninth has been a revelation for the Nats. They have been very productive, 9-1-2, and he's got to get more production from the middle of his order. There's nothing he can do about that, but his pitching decisions have seemed to be a bit indecisive, and I'm hoping that he learned from last year. I thought that was a big thing that he had talked about, is that he was pouring through tape in the offseason, looking at what he could have done better last year. And again, small sample size this year, only 3 games. But for me, I don't have a ton of confidence in him yet. I hope that my confidence grows in Davey. But right now, if I'm feeling that, I'm curious what the players are feeling with him, what the bullpen is feeling. Like yesterday in the 8th inning, they start the inning with Tony Sipp, and then he gets Rosenthal and Doolittle up at the same time. If you're going to get Doolittle up, just put Doolittle in and say, hey, man, 5-out save. You know, if Sipp gets in trouble, you're going to come in and clean it up. Why let Rosenthal come in and face one batter? I just don't understand that. Doolittle's already hot. Just bring him in. You got a day off on Monday. You really needed a win to salvage a win in a 3-game set to open the season. Again, indecisive. I think he was trying to have the best of both worlds, where Doolittle only had to pitch one inning as opposed to doing one plus, and ended up backfiring. It wasn't completely Rosenthal's fault. I mean, he only gave up one hit, but he needs to be more decisive in situations. Davey needs to be more decisive in situations like that. All right, so some thoughts that I had while watching the games. I just touched on one earlier. I think Soto should be batting third in front of Anthony Rendon. Ryan Zimmerman and Brian Dozier are not providing any protection yet. I don't think that Zimmerman and Dozier are going to strike fear into opposing pitchers. I just don't think so. Zimmerman has the potential to be lethal. Dozier has power, but he's hit for a low average the last couple of seasons. It's not the protection that Soto needs. I think Rendon can handle it better. I think Rendon obviously is more experienced, and Rendon is more of a hits the ball to the gaps, hence the nickname Tony Two Bags. I would like to see Soto moved up into the 3-hole behind Trey Turner and Adam Eaton. I think Rendon's more equipped to handle being pitched around, and I think you want Soto seeing more fastballs with his power potential. You want Soto up with Turner, Eaton on, or Robles, Eaton, Turner on, or something along those lines. Turner's going to see better pitches, and then I think Rendon, being the veteran, being a wizard with the bat, I think that he'll be able to handle being in that 4-slot. But this is where really... And I said I wasn't going to talk about Bryce, but this is where they miss his presence. He had a presence. Whether you were happy with the production he had on the field or not, he was somebody that teams had to focus on. They had to focus on him every game, and he got pitched around. And because of that, the people that batted in front of him and people that batted behind him saw better pitches. Soto was a big benefactor of that last year. So was Anthony Rendon. And if you remember in the past, when Bryce got pitched around, when the Nats were not being successful, it was because Ryan Zimmerman wasn't capitalizing on Bryce Harper being walked or something along those lines. And that seemed to happen in the first game against the Mets in the opening day game. Soto got walked. Zimmerman had a chance to drive in a couple of runs, and he didn't do it. I mean, his first at-bat, he hit a rope to third base, but it got snagged. Zimmerman's going to have big hits this year, especially if he's going to be in that 5-hole. He and Dozier being above average will make this lineup very long. If they are below average, the Nats are going to have issues scoring runs. They didn't have any issues scoring runs in the first 3 games. I mean, they got shut out in game 1, but then they combined to score... Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. They combined to score 14 runs in the next 2 games. So their offense isn't the issue, but you're going to need more production out of the middle of the order. The other thing we touched on a little bit, Davey needs to stop thinking about pitcher wins. Pitching wins, a win for a pitcher, it's a useless stat. It's a useless stat. I mean, DeGrom won the Cy Young last year. I think his record was 12-11. Felix Hernandez has won the Cy Young in the past. I think he had a sub-500 winning percentage. It's a meaningless stat. And he sent Scherzer out in the eighth inning chasing a W, a pitching W. And it cost him an offensive opportunity. Scherzer fatigued a lot quicker than he thought he would. They ended up giving up another run in the eighth inning, and that was all she wrote. Would they have won the game if Matt Adams bats in the bottom of the seventh? I don't know. But I'm saying you could have saved Scherzer two-thirds of an inning, another dozen or so pitches. And, again, I really think they have to manage the pitching staff better than they did last year. They just have to. Especially with Scherzer, he's getting a little bit older. They have to manage it better. They got to stop chasing pitcher wins. It's such a useless stat. I hate that stat. In regards to Rosenthal, I think he's going to be fine. His velocity is there. One thing they say about Tommy John surgery, when you first come back, there are days when your accuracy is there, and then there are days when it's not there. I just think that he's got to find his rhythm. I just hope it doesn't cost the Nats too many wins early in the season while he's doing that. But again, if he finds his rhythm, I think he's going to be okay. The Nats are scoring runs because of the top and the bottom of their order, but at some point, big hits will need to come from Zim and Dozier. Otherwise, Rendon and Soto are going to see little to hit. We've touched on that a couple times already, but I can't emphasize enough. If you've got a middle of the order, 5, 6, 7, who's not doing anything, it's going to be a long season. The big thought that I had, especially after opening day, you can't preach all spring that you're working on fundamentals, that you're working on defense, you're working on base running, you're working on the little things, because that's where you failed last year. You failed because you didn't take an extra base. You failed because they misplays in the field or throwing to the wrong bag. You can't preach that all spring and then come out and play like they did. They had base running gaffes. I mean, yeah, one of them was Victor Robles, and definitely cost them a run. Really. Had he broke on contact, they would have been tied with DeGrom 1-1. The complexion of the game would have been completely different. Yes, he's 21 years old, but you can't preach fundamentals all spring and have that happen. They overthrew cutoff men. A couple of balls were misplayed. They just looked a little sloppy. And again, if you preach fundamentals all spring and then come out like that, you open yourself up to criticism. And Davey has no leeway left. After last year and the way that the team who was, they were the favorites to win the division, they were one of the favorites to go to the World Series, you can't come out looking like that. He's not going to survive the season if they continue to play like that. So they're going to need to clean it up a little bit, not just with Davey. The team's going to have to play crisper baseball. They just are. They're going to have to run the bases better. They're going to have to throw the right back. They're going to have to hit the cutoff man. Because those little things, when you're not blowing teams out, those little things can be the difference between a win and a loss. And my final thing that I want to talk about is, it really was not a good feeling weekend. It just wasn't. They get shut out on opening day, and you're telling yourself, they're facing DeGrom. Yeah, but the Mets were facing Scherzer. And for seven innings, Scherzer had only given up two hits, one run, which was a Robbie Cano home run in the first inning. The Nationals squandered three chances to score runs against DeGrom. They had a chance to score off of DeGrom, and they didn't do it. They didn't lose that game because they were facing DeGrom. They lost that game because they didn't capitalize on the offensive chances that they gave themselves. Twice they had a runner on third, less than two outs. Didn't bring him home once. So, again, the weekend could have been worse. It felt terrible as a Nationals fan. It felt terrible as me being somebody who I still don't really believe in the Mets. The Mets are improved, but I don't think that they're better than the Nationals. I don't think that they're a playoff team. I just don't. Robbie Cano had a great first series for the Mets. Phenomenal first series. I mean, he drove in both runs in the first game. He was a tough out. And Pete Alonso, I mean, my goodness, Guys batting 500, had 6 hits and 12 at-bats against the Nats. Robbie Cano, 4 hits and 14 at-bats, 2 ribbies and a home run. I don't think Pete Alonso keeps up that pace. I mean, certainly not a 500 pace, but, I mean, he's had an MVP weekend. I don't think that stays. And, Syndergaard was hittable. Zach Wheeler didn't look that good yesterday. So I wasn't a big believer in the Mets. But the weekend could have been worse, was the point I was trying to get to. Weekend could have been worse. I mean, just look how things went for Atlanta. Atlanta started the season on March 28th by putting Mike Foltynewicz on the DL with soreness in his elbow. They think he's going to be out at least until mid-April. So they start the season with Julio Teheran, Kyle Wright, and Bryce Wilson as their three starters. Kyle Wright's 23, Bryce Wilson's 21. Their pitching staff needs some work. And they got boat raced a couple of times this weekend against the Phillies. The Phillies' offense overmatched them. They lost opening day 10-4. They lost on Saturday 8-6. And then last night in the Sunday night game, they lost 5-1. They did not have a good weekend. They got swept by the Phillies, got outscored 23-11. Not a good weekend for the Braves. And you start to wonder about their pitching staff, especially in a division where you're going to face an offensive team like the Phillies. The Nationals are going to be tough offensively. Even the Mets are going to be tough offensively. You start to think they were the division winners last year. They didn't really do a whole lot in the offseason to improve their pitching. And you got to ask yourself for the Braves, like, yeah, you could go get Craig Kimbrell, but that doesn't solve your starting pitching issue. You could go get Dallas Keuchel, but when's he going to be ready to pitch? He probably won't be ready to pitch until May. You got to roll with the guys that you have. So if you're the Nats, if you're a Nats fan, you got to feel, you got to have some, I don't know, negative feelings about how the Nats came out, but I think the Nats could erase that with just a good week, especially with a win tomorrow night over the Phillies. The Braves, I think they have issues that are more glaring. Again, only 3 games in. But I think the Braves, and I think that the Phillies, even if you look at the Phillies, you got to be really impressed with their offense. I still don't trust their pitching beyond Aaron Nola, but you got to be really impressed with their offense. They're just going to be a tough out, 1-9. And Bryce had two homers in the opening weekend. They're going to be a tough team to face offensively. You're going to have to outslug them unless you've got a guy like Max Scherzer pitching or Jacob DeGrom. You're going to have to outslug them, and that's going to be a tough thing to do, especially in their ballpark. Citizens Bank is a launching pad. So you got to feel good if you're a Phillies fan. I think if you're a Nats fan, your expectations should have been high going into the season. I don't think they should be dampened that much, but if the Nats continue to have a slow start into this week, especially because they're all division games, you've got the Phillies and then the Mets in New York, there are going to be some people writing some articles about how Davey Martinez is already going to be on the hot seat. Can't have a $200 million-plus roster and start off slow. Remember the 2 years, Dusty Baker, back-to-back division titles, they started out fast each time. Davey Johnson, 2012, they started out fast. So, I don't know, man. 3 games in, I'm not worried yet. I was a little bummed out about the way things went over the weekend, but Trey Turner saved the day. And if the Nats offense can pick it up a little bit more, especially in the middle of the order, I think we're going to be in good shape. I look forward to watching Max pitch tomorrow night against Philadelphia. Be interesting to see how the crowd reacts to Bryce Harper. Apparently, he has a statement plan to the Nats fans. I'm not going to talk about that now. But I will record tomorrow night after the Nats-Phillies game. Right after the game, I'm going to record, and then I'll post part 2 of this week's episode. But that's all I've got for now. Baseball's back. I'm excited for it. I thank you guys for listening. Again, we are affiliated with the DMV Sports Network. DMV.com, DMVSportsNetwork.com. They can be reached on Twitter at DMV_SN. You can also follow us on Twitter. It's About Time DC1. That's ITS, About Time DC1. Give us a follow. Let us know what you think. Subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen. Rate us. Make a comment. We're always happy to hear from you guys. But until tomorrow night, April 2nd, after the Nats play the Phillies in Bryce Harper's first game back in Washington, we will see you guys later. Take care.